Shar, how you doing?
I'm having a good day, pal. I'm sitting here in the parking lot of a course I've never played before, and super pumped to tee it up today. It's a silver tip in the mountains, so I'm feeling excited right now.
You haven't played it before.
No, I haven't.
It's very picturesque, Shauger. Your eyes will like it. I'm not necessarily certain your golf game will like it. It's a tough course.
My golf game isn't really that picky, though. You know, like
my golf game's
happy at 88. It's happy at 104. Doesn't really matter to me. So I'm just glad to be here and good day for golf.
Oh, it is a good day. I love it. Oof, look at you, 200 bones around. Big deal. Big deal. All right, let's talk about a few things here for the Edmonton Oilers. I think their protection list is pretty much set, unless they sign Mike Smith in the next few days. Otherwise, I think Stuart Skinner's protected, and Koskinen is exposed. You had Oilers and Koskinen keep working on a deal. Obviously, they wouldn't sign one until after the expansion draft.
And Larson, you mean? Yeah, yep. In
Larson, right? I still believe when push comes to shove, they'll get it done because the Oilers really need Adam Larson. What do you think?
Oh, yeah. I mean, from the Oilers standpoint, I absolutely think they want to get Adam Larson done. I think sometimes it boils down to whether guys want to, you know, they play a long time and unrestricted free agency is intriguing for them. And so even though you might think your current situation is good, it doesn't mean you don't necessarily want to test the waters a little bit and see what else might be out there. So, you know, whether it's term or dollars, I think the Oilers will probably be really competitive with other offers that are going to be out there. And I think a lot of it boils down to Adam Larson and how he feels about being in Edmonton. He's been here a while now, and if he wants to forego the opportunity to test the waters. And sometimes there's only so much a club can do. And if a guy wants to see what's out there, he wants to see what's out there. So I think, you know, negotiations are continuing. They've tabled an offer that he's considering. A few different options sit on the table. I think this just boils down to kind of, I think the Oilers are going to step up. I think it kind of boils down to Adam Larson and if he wants to test free agency or if he's happy with where he's at and is willing to do a deal and, you know, foregoes all of that.
Yeah. Yeah, my gut says if at the end of the day, I think they might get a deal done. James Neal, I believe is a foregone conclusion, Shauger. They're going to buy him out. But I'm hearing some whispers on that there's some interest in Mikko Koskinen. Now, obviously, I would assume there'd be some retained salary in that, but what do you make of that?
Well, there will be interest in Mikko Koskinen with retained salary. Like, he'd be an okay backup for somebody to go in and, you know, at a reasonable dollar figure, go in and play a certain number of games. Like, you know, we watch him play every day, and we see the tendencies he has and some of the first shot goals that go in, and there's a little bit of reliability issues there sometimes. But from a number standpoint, he's actually gone through some stretches where he's been pretty good. So you reduce that contract value, and there's a market for Mikko Koskinen. It's just, you know, by how much. That's really what it boils down to, by how much.
Yeah, no, that's totally valid. The left winger spot, we all know the names. You know, there's Hyman, it could be Taylor Hall, there's Tatar, there's Hoffman, there's Janmark. The third line center spot, which, like, I honestly, if the Edmonton Oilers, I sign Derek Ryan if I have to, because I don't want to start Ryan McLeod as my third line center. I just think that's a recipe for disaster. You're putting a lot of pressure on a young player, and then if it doesn't work out, then what do you do? I'd rather have Derek Ryan, who you know can win faceoffs, Shauger. He can kill penalties for you. He can chip in a little bit offensively, and at least, you know, give McLeod some time to be sheltered to start. And then if McLeod flourishes, well, then it's easy to switch midway through the season.
Yeah, I mean, if you're starting the year with McLeod as your third line center, then you didn't find the guy you were looking for. Straight up, like, that's no disrespect to Ryan McLeod. He's just not there. He's not there yet. He should be counted on as a third line center, you know? So, yeah, they need to go find somebody. And Derek Ryan's an interesting name. You know, there's always been some ties to him and the Oilers just because of, you know, his history in the area and such. Yeah. And the thing about the third line center position in Edmonton, like, how offensive do you need the guy to be? I mean, when you've got McDavid and Draisaitl up front, you probably are okay if you're thinking a more defensive-minded third-line center who doesn't have to put up, a ton of offense. You would probably take a guy that's a little bit more defensive-minded. So, You know, if Ryan McLeod projects out to be a third line center, then great. He's a couple years away from doing it, in my opinion. So you can feel free to sign a guy to a 2 or 3 year deal that a guy that can firmly play in front of him. And if he ends up winning out that spot, then way to go, development team, right? Starting him there, thinking he's going to be able to run with that ball this year on a team that wants to be as competitive as the Oilers do. I just think they have some cap space, or whether it's a trade, whatever it is, I do think that's a pretty important spot. And Ryan would be, I mean, I think Ryan's a better fourth line center on a really good team.
Yeah, I agree.
But if you have to bring him in, if that's, you know, if that's all you can get done, then he would be a decent addition. But I don't know. See what happens on the left side. If they don't end up with one of the higher end options on the left side, maybe they aim a little higher in the middle.
Yeah, the thing is, like, there's not a lot of middle guys that are that high, right? That to me is, because I agree with you, if, you know, hey, you, if you get a really good third line center, then maybe you settle for a little bit less of a winger. There's just not that many, you know, high end third line centers available.
Yeah, and maybe that's done via trade then. Maybe there's a way through everything Seattle's got going on to squeeze a third line center out of somewhere. Maybe there's a, you know, I mean, they're not just looking at free agency, right? They've got to be able to be versatile and find different ways to bring guys in. I don't think Ken Holland's going to get everything done that he needs to get done just strictly in free agency. We've seen one trade now that fills a need. They were eyeballing in free agency. And, you know, it's a real convenient way to guarantee yourself something, right, as opposed to going into free agency with your fingers crossed. Unless you know you've got a guy buttoned down, which happens sometimes but not all the time.
Yeah. The one third-line center that's interesting to me is Barkley Goodrow. That's a player. I think obviously he's going to get to maybe an inflated salary, right? But, you know what? He's performed when it matters most in the postseason. He's a really gritty, hard player. He was when he was in San Jose before they died. I remember people, you know, ripping on Tampa for giving up a first rounder, but I don't think many of them even knew who Barkley Goodrow was at that time.
Yeah.
But, he's the third line center, I think, that, you know, a lot of people would look for. You know, brings you energy, can play, you know, harder minutes for your team, you know, kills penalties. He would be an ideal third line option, but he's going to probably be fairly costly.
What would you think of Ryan Getzlaff? Like, I don't think that he signs in Edmonton. I don't think, like, if he's going to do the deal later in his career here to try and grab another cup and ride off into the sunset, I don't know that he does that deal, you know, in northern Alberta. But what would you think of him as a fit? Because now you're adding another guy who's got cup experience, who will play a reasonable amount on your, you know, each night. Big, can still move pretty well. Isn't what he used to be, but so what? If the dollar figure was there, I mean, that could be another spot where, and I think that's a little bit pie in the sky, but it wouldn't surprise me if there was interest there.
Ryan Schaug from TSN joins us. Schauger, the Minnesota Wild bio yesterday was crazy, and now the story in Minnesota just goes crazier. Kaprizov's played one season. He has 51 points. Story is he turned down an 8-year deal at $9 million per season.
I didn't see that today. Are you serious?
Yeah, like Mike. We had Mike Russo on the pod last, and he said he was the one, you know, because Russo's tucked into that team better than anyone.
Of course,
and he said Kaprizov. It's funny, you know. Usually, it's the team that wants to turn down a long term deal. But this is a player, and that he was looking for a short-term deal, thinking that he'll get a good deal and then get an even bigger payday. I'm just like, oh, my goodness. Like, that's crazy. He just turned 24.
So they were going to pay him $9 million until the age of 32.
Yeah.
Man, oh, man. And he's like, no, need more. Wow. Well, I guess, I mean, I don't know. We are seeing, you know, we saw some higher-end guys, restricted free agents, that were high-end guys do shorter-term deals, right? Like Austin Matthews did that. That was before all of this flat cap stuff started happening, and there's some uncertainty about how high prices will go. So I guess maybe when you're talking the end of that deal, prices might be back in a place where he could end up doing better than that. But, man, that is a lot of cake to leave on the table for a guy who's had the one good year.
Exactly.
I mean, what if he has 24 points next year?
Well, see, that's the thing. Like, How much? I watch Kaprizov. He's 24. I'm like, how much better can he be? That's my question. Like, I don't know, right? Like, you know, maybe he follows in the line of Panarin, right? And that seemed, you know, Panarin went up to, you know, 82, then 95 points and has been an electric player. And he also got 11.6 mil. Like, that is a lot. That's 72 mil to turn down for 1 year. Like, he's going to have to be really good to be better than that, unless it's more about lifestyle and something else and not just pure money for him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, could be. Could be. Maybe he's like, hey, I'm young. You know, I'm going to make a lot of money in my life. And so, I'll do 3 or 4 years here, see if I still like it. And if I don't, have one real nice big payday at, you know, 28. And then off I go. I mean, maybe it's just not always about locking up the longest possible term you can with, you know, maybe sometimes it's more like, I don't know, something to be said for keeping some options open into your mid late 20s. And he's going to make more of the money than he knows what to do with. So, like, yeah, maybe sometimes guys think about it just a little bit different. And I don't mind that. Now, if he was like, no, I'll do the 8 years, but it's got to be 11 and a half million. It's like, okay, so you still want the term. You just think they're not giving you enough money yet. Well, that's probably he's accomplished a lot and it's impressive, but that's getting a little big for the britches, don't you think?
Oh, a little bit, yeah. Under 100%. I'd agree with that. Ryan Rashog joins us. Goaltending. So let's say they find a deal for Koskinen, and then obviously they're bringing back Mike Smith. Is there another goalie you think that makes sense for Edmonton?
Well, I mean, let's look at the need they want to fill. So with Mike Smith, it's maybe one more year. And they need to have the next guy. So how do you feel about Skinner? How do you think the organization feels about Skinner? And what they're where they're willing to put him in terms of what they project him out to be and when he becomes that? Like, do you think they're hopeful that he'll be able to be a real solid backup at some point? Maybe if things go really well, be a starter? Where do you think their heads are at on him? And I don't think he's the solution in the moment, but if you got Mike Smith for another year and you don't view him as the guy that's going to step in and be the next guy, now you need that other guy. And you need the guy to come in and compete with Smith for the starting job this year. Similar to like what a Cam Talbot was back when they did that trade. You know, they needed somebody who was ready to take that step, who was ready to take on more and maybe have the opportunity to really be that guy in an organization where he, you know, was clearly going to have a chance to do that. So I don't know who that is. Is that Driedger? You know, is like that's the name that comes up often. And I think, that, you know, there makes some sense there. But I think it's that shape of guy. So it's just a matter of convincing him to come, getting the right guy. What do you think?
Yeah, I would have to. I think the concern for Edmonton is that they would like a goaltender who's under contract past the end of next season, right? Because that's always a risk that at the end of this year, Smith's done, and who knows what he would be, and Koskinen would be done. And you don't have either goalie under contract. Sure, I guess you could always re-sign Koskinen, but what if you're like, well, we're not really sure, right? So that I think they would like to have, so knowing going into this season, they've got a goalie already, at least one of them under contract for next year. Because then you're right, like maybe Konovalov or Skinner is ready to take that next step. I think Edmonton would like to find like a 1B guy with Mike Smith, you know, so they battle. And I think that's Driedger, because I'm not sure Driedger is a full – I don't know enough about him to say he's played enough to say this guy's a legit full-time starter.
Yeah, and that's why. I mean, you're not signing him to a deal that makes the statement, we believe you're a full-time starter. You know, you do a deal that's like, okay, we think you could be, you know, and let's see. And so, whether you trade for a guy with some money left, this is when you don't have the guy coming in your organization, then you got to go find and grab somebody else's. And there'd be some guys that could potentially spring loose, but he would probably be near the top of the list, I would think.
Shogar, one last one for you. Are you at least going to tuck in your shirt at this golf course? Many Texans are wondering.
I got chirped so hard that I've currently got it tucked in. And I've been walking around here in the parking lot with my shirt tucked in. And it's really uncomfortable. It's really hot. It's uncomfortable. Your torso doesn't rotate as easily tucked in. I'm annoyed, and I want to untuck it. But I know if I do, I'll get chirped.
Well, or just don't take a picture of it.
Do you go fully tucked to, like, all the time on the golf course? Like, I don't wear golf shirts that are hanging down to my knees.
I actually do think I tuck my golf shirt in pretty much all the time. But I have very thin, like, I don't have heavy golf shirt. I don't wear, and I won't buy a golf shirt if it's one that I feel I'm going to be hot in. So, no.
I've seen the golf pants you pull out every now and then, so I just...
Oh, those are unbelievable, but usually I golf in shorts.
I don't know that I want to take chirps on golf attire from you with those.
Yeah.
I believe they were lime green.
Yeah, buddy, those are unreal. They're unreal pants, but
they
always have a shirt tucked into them.
You forge forward with the same amount of confidence in your golf pants that you do with your frames for your glasses. And I respect that, Gregor, that clearly you don't consider what anybody else might think. You like what you like, and you go with it, and I respect that.
100%. 100%.
Because
usually
most
of the people chirping have like horrible fashion sense. So, you know, why would I ever take fashion sense from someone who, when I see some of the people, I'm just like Strutty was chirping me about fashion. I'm like, dude, I saw what happened when the TV people came to your wardrobe. The lady was extremely disappointed.
I think there's a saying, it's like, don't ever take criticism to heart from somebody that you wouldn't take advice from.
Exactly.
So, there you go.
Yes, it's very true when it comes to I'll take advice from Struds on a lot of things, but not fashion.
All right. So to everybody chirping me about my untucked shirt, I wouldn't take advice from any of you, so I don't care.
There you go. Love it. Have a good day, Shogger.
All right, talk to you.